Words for Life this week is by Reverend Kevin Pedersen of Ormond Anglican Church here in Melbourne. The introductory Bible reading is Psalm 127. Kevin celebrates the 10-year anniversary of Ormond Anglican's new building. He also talks about how to build a house, a family, or a life.
It's time now for our reading, and we're reading the entire Psalm 127, which isn't a long one, so thank you. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand in watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's take time to pray as we consider building a house and building a family. Father, we thank you for your word, for the way it guides and encourages us. Thank you for the last 10 years in these new buildings, and pray, Lord, as we look forward, that we would know your guidance and help as we build. Lord, make us faithful in the task you've entrusted to our care, for Christ's sake. Amen. Good to be here. Well, normally we think pretty carefully before we make a big decision. The right discipline strategy for your children. If you've had them or you're having them, isn't that a labour? Things keep on changing and you're not quite sure when to respond, and if so, how, and you know, what guidance you receive, books and so on, people you talk to. The right discipline strategy for your children. Major work. For some people, buying a new car is nearly as important, and all the effort and research that goes into that, it's amazing to watch, and I've got joy to behold when it's actually sitting in the driveway. Choosing a school, there's another big decision. Oh my goodness. It's the child, it's what's available in the area, it's how much we've got to spend, it's the, you know, the whole kind of connection of what the siblings and other siblings are doing, where I went to school, all that kind of thing. Choosing a school. Trying to get that right, because we know it's such a critical decision. Making tough decisions for our parents, Bruce and Jan, and their family have had a difficult week with Bruce's mum. She's now living in their home. Things have changed. And when that changes, how do you navigate your way through those changes, to both to honour the parent and to draw in the rest of the family to, get your own head around what's going on? Making tough decisions for our parents, big choices. Updating a new phone or a laptop for some people, that's really important. And when, Apple brings out something new, you see queues of people waiting overnight, ready to buy the new thing. Lots of people are invested and interested in that area. Changing jobs. I don't know if you've done that recently or perhaps you're facing that. What a wrestle that is. Do you jump? Do you stay? What contribution can you make? The whole insecurity associated with that whole question. Big opportunity for an important decision to be made well. Some people spend their year investing in their next holiday destination. I've had plenty of those conversations, and you get them started and they can't stop because there's so much that they're talking about their preparation, another big decision. Your relationships, or if you're married, your marriage. We heard from Erica, thank you, Erica, that investing in that and the rewards that are there for you if you do, the prayer and effort we put into managing our relationships, sometimes things go wrong, it gets a bit hairy. But building a house and building a family are the two things in view as we look at Psalm 127 this morning. Now, these things keep us up at night. These are the things we wrestle with and work on because we know that getting it right takes wisdom. And so it's wisdom we seek as we build. And that's why we're here today in Psalm 127. It is a part of the wisdom literature you find in your Bible. I mean, most notably Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, but all throughout the scriptures there are these teaching moments there for God's people to lay hold of and to appropriate. And so Psalm 127 was chosen as the prayer, the psalm on the plaque when we mark the opening of our redeveloped buildings. It's just on the way to the car park. You've passed it this morning if you came in from there. And we did that purposely as we dedicated our labours to God. And as you look at the psalm, second one, you can see that it comes in two halves, verses 1 and 2 and then verses 3 to 5. And if you know the sons of Korah, when they sing it, the style of music changes completely after verse 2. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. What is the psalm about? Well, as we heard it read, and if you know it, you'll recognize these words, vanity or blessing. It seems to me that's a good way of dividing the thing up. It's offering you a choice. It's the path to wisdom. Or maybe a little bit more contemporary, worry versus faith. I often tell people you can't worry and pray at the same time. You do one or the other. So here it's presenting you with a choice, an opportunity to choose wisely. So when we set out to redevelop our facilities 10 years ago, we didn't just want newer buildings. I remember talking about better club rooms. That wasn't why we redeveloped. We wanted to strengthen the life and mission of our church community and grow its members as they exercise their faith. Certainly the whole concept and then raising the money and, you know, worshipping off-site and so on, these were big things for us to sign our name to undertake. It was a faith-building exercise as much as it was a rebuilding exercise. And praise the Lord, people did give and they did grow and together built the facilities that we all enjoy today. But of course, that's only half the story, because what was built was itself designed to facilitate a far greater growth, the building of the family of God in our community here, Glen Ira, Ormond, and the surrounding suburbs. And we're not here for our own purposes. Remember John Smith saying the church is the only organization in the world that exists for the benefit of non-members. And so, you know, we don't want to think of the four walls and look inward. We want to think of the windows and look out. And so, with that thought in mind, we built. And this is something we want to continue to do going forward. We're at that kind of 10-year mark since that point in time, but we've got in front of us the vision of it being a transformed community, sharing Jesus for a transformed city. And that's looking forward, looking outward. So as we think of continuing to build for the next 10 years, what wisdom does God have for us here in Psalm 127? That is the question. And the first thing I'd ask you to notice is this: the Lord is the builder. The Lord is the builder. Because the psalm begins with the word, unless. So apparently, right at the beginning, there's a choice. It is possible to build a house or to build a family without the Lord. You can do that. But the psalm teaches that if you do, it will be in vain. What does the word vain mean? Somebody told me there was a question. Sharon Seed was asked that question by her grandchild last night. She said, "Go figure," right? How would you answer that question if you were Sharon Seed and explaining it to her grandchild? What does the word vain mean? What does it mean? No benefit. Nothing of substance, says the thesaurus in the back row, yeah. Yeah, inward looking, yeah. Futile. Yeah, fruitless. Yeah. Yeah, they're great. They're great words. That's the idea. Futile, without reward, without heritage, without blessing, and will lead to shame, if I just use the second half of the psalm, because those words are found there. It is possible to build a house and a family without the Lord. but to do so lacks the guarantee or the blessing, if you like, that only God can give. The Lord is the builder. You might remember Jesus saying these words, "I will build my church." But this doesn't mean we don't have to work too. And there's the teeter-totter point, isn't there? Yes, God is the builder, but we have to work as well. It doesn't mean we don't have to work, but what it does mean is we do have to be careful how we work. Think about it like that. Now, I don't know about you, but my default is this. I have a great idea and I ask God to bless it. Is that familiar to you? Right? God, I've got this great idea. How about you bless it? And away we go. And that'd be great if you do that. Actually, God, thanks. That'd be fine. Yeah. Now, this doesn't always happen. And so sometimes we can find ourselves disappointed or discouraged, disillusioned. I don't think we can really blame God for that. A better idea than asking God to bless what we are doing, I've discovered, is to join in with what he is doing, to discern that first, and then apply our strength, our endeavor, and our energy to where he is investing. So we could read the psalm as saying, "The Lord is the builder of things that last." Yes, we can build, but a bit like, you know, the house built on the rock or the house built on the sand, you know, one's future is uncertain. The Lord is the builder of things that last. And so, if we're seeking wisdom, then if we want our efforts to last, if we want our efforts to matter or to be full of life and purpose, then we should build with him. That would seem to be the thing to do. And not just build with him, but build his way. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. In our 24/7 world, where even childhood is programmed to the minute, the Lord gives rest. It's a great word, isn't it? Rest. I like saying that word. Rest. How would you like some rest? How would you like that? The Lord gives rest. He gives sleep. He gives peace. He gives Sabbath. It's a big theme, isn't it? In the scriptures, the rest that the Lord gives. I mean, think of the places where this idea is made prominent in your Bibles. One you'll all know is, "Give us today our daily bread." Give us today our daily bread. The Lord's Prayer. The Lord is the builder. The Lord is the giver. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31 and following. "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' Or 'What shall we drink?' Or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." The Lord is the builder. The Lord is the provider. Perhaps you know the story of Israel in the wilderness and what they lived on. The manna came out of the sky. Here's a great big long passage from Exodus chapter 16, but it's a fascinating story. "Every morning, everyone gathered as much manna as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, 'This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil, save whatever is left, and keep it until morning.' And they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. 'Eat it today,' Moses said, 'because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any.' Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none." don't be God, right? The people are just so difficult. Right? So here they are in the wilderness, they've got nothing to eat, and the bread falls out of the sky, and they gather it up in the morning, and if they keep it to the next day, it gets maggots in it, and it stinks. Except on the sixth day, when they're supposed to gather twice as much, because on the seventh day there won't be any, but it doesn't stink. So how does this work? God is the provider. Will you just trust me? Jesus feeds 5,000. The widow has a jar of oil that doesn't run out. It's about who or what we trust, isn't it? And you can trust in your own efforts, go your hardest, or you can trust in God. And there's a world of difference. I keep on telling you about the story of Edward L. Cordo because it is so amazing. In the 80s, he was a stockbroker. He was from the Philippines. He was on $500,000 a year in 1980. This guy was rich. If he couldn't remember where he parked his BMW, he'd just go and get another one. I'm not joking. His tithe re-roofed St. Jude's Carlton in 1 year. Right? This guy was just loaded. And it was a high-pressure occupation, and he was a partner in a firm, and he was a Christian. And everyone else worked 7 days a week, and he worked six. And at the end of the year, when they totted up their numbers, he was up there with the rest of them. Right? Who is the provider here? Who is the provider? So building the Lord's way means we can build without the worry, because his purposes will be accomplished, even if it looks like a setback for us. Let's imagine it doesn't work out from our perspective, because things don't always work out, but God's purposes are still accomplished. And if you think that faith is the opposite to worry, then there's a big clue to the question, well, how shall we build? What does it mean to build the Lord's way? Well, you can worry or you can have faith. And that's where, of course, the holiday of prayer comes into it, doesn't it? How's your prayer life? And are you building with God? Well, you've got to be talking to him if you're wanting to do that. Undergird it all with prayer. We had a prayer and fasting night on Tuesday. We're trying to undergird our work together as we undertake the vision of the church in prayer. I think sometimes we are too comfortable to pray. There's a thought. We are so settled. We have no needs. We forget how to pray. Well, God knows how to remedy that. And we complain when we're discomforted. But he really wants us to build with him. The other thing I think we should notice about this is that building the Lord's way keeps everything in balance. Look at the psalm again. There's time for work and there's time for rest. And maybe if your life feels out of balance at the moment, you might want to think about how you're building. The psalm balances out. Verses 3 to 5 balance, if you like, the first two verses. Whereas in the top half we're in danger of missing out, here in the second half of the psalm we find reward, heritage, blessing, and protection from shame when we go to court. And we find that God has in fact provided what we need, children for heritage, offspring for a reward, arrows for the warrior. And a warrior ain't much good without arrows. But you give a warrior the equipment that he needs and he's really useful. So this is it. This is God equipping us, giving us what we need. And protection from shame, social standing in the community so we can take our place. And this is very much the Lord's work. We look at the second half of the psalm, exemplified in the producing of children. Right? That's the kind of image that God uses of his total provision. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Now I know in the production of children that an ovum needs to be fertilized. But apart from that, it's just this huge mystery. I mean, read Psalm 139. And when you actually hold a newborn in your arms, there's no doubt you are in contact with a miracle. The message is God gives us what we need. The food, the sleep, the homes, the families, the social standing. All and everything we need is given by him. And it's given freely as a gift. This doesn't mean we don't have to work, but it does mean we have to trust him as we do. And this is in everything, not just rebuilding a church. Everything. For only what is from the Lord is strong. And none of us wants to see our time or our energy or our efforts thrown away, frittered away, wasted. That is a great, great shame. And so as we try and tie building a house and building a family together, I just want to refer you quickly to 2 Samuel chapter 7. It's God's promise to David and you'll know where we are. David says to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in a palace of cedar while the ark of God remains in a tent." And all with one accord said, "That's not right." So God interrupts Nathan's sleep that night and he sends him back to David with a message. "The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you." God has a better idea. The temple will not be built by David, it will be built by his son. God is going to build David a house, a line, a family, a dynasty. And into that family, we are also built through the son of David, who sits on David's throne forever. Verse 13. "He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." And when God uses the forever word, he means forever. He's talking about Jesus. And so the promise that God makes to David and to David's people then reaches us as we put our faith and trust in the Lord who provides. And so even more than the building of houses or the raising of children, even more than good social standing or being blessed or rewarded or heritage in this life, is the promise we all share in the son and heir of the kingdom, Jesus. Here is God's promise made personal for each one of us. And that's why we build, but not only build and worship and serve and witness and pray and work. That's why we do all these things. Now, of course, you know, every talk has a crisis moment, and this is it. Friends, I cannot transform this community. And we cannot transform our city. So much for the vision. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. The work we undertake as a church is a work that only God can do. Our privilege is to be at Ormond at this time to play our part, sharing Jesus, and in so doing open ourselves and our church and God's city here in Glen Eira to his blessing. That's the task. Sharing Jesus, that God's blessing might be spread abroad. And so at this 10-year point, we come to, again, the question, are you in? Are you in? Would you trust him and then go to work? Would you join God in what he is building? For if you do, you will find heritage, reward, blessing, and protection. Great to be building with you.